We are starting a new series for the next few weeks as we make our way to Easter and to the resurrection. And in the season in the life of the Christian church, a lot of times this season, which lasts around 40 days, is called Lent. And what we're doing is preparing ourselves, traveling lighter, trying to set aside things that distract us, and so that we might come to a more focused following of our Savior. And so we're using the theme of move, that God is a God of movements. He is moving history from its beginning to its completion. That we too are called to be in God's movement, that He calls us along the way as He forms us and shapes us to be His child. He is moving us toward maturity. The funny thing is, we talked about this a little bit as some of the people that were collecting and counting money, that years ago we used to think that if we could just get you to come to church and we could get you involved in a Sunday school class and then we could give you a church job, that's what we wanted to do, that would keep you busy and that would make you grow to become Christ-like. Well, we've learned better now. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're growing in Christ-likeness. Some people can do all those things and have those perfect attendance pins and all that stuff and yet still not grow in Christ-likeness. So God is wanting to move us from our professions of faith to become maturing in our own faith. Today we start our first movement, though, into the desert, into the wilderness. If you have your handouts with you, I'm going to ask that you use those to follow along as we look at the story of Luke chapter 4. Verses 1 through 13. It is a familiar story. All three of the Gospels talk about the temptations of Christ in the wilderness. Matthew and Luke tell it to us in a more extensive way. Mark deals with it in a very short way, just a few verses. And the funny thing about these two versions is the order is different. Matthew gives us an order of the three temptations one way, and Luke gives us a slightly different order. And maybe we could come to some conclusions about why that may be that way. So may we move with God as He shapes us along our journey, that we might become more Christ-like. Let's look at this whole passage quickly and listen to the reading of it. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you'll worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. In this particular passage, the only reason we know these stories is Jesus must have told it to his disciples. It is him and him alone who is in the wilderness in silence and solitude, and he is the one who, in his time of seeking the Lord's guidance, is now tempted to take these three other ways of becoming Messiah, three different ways. But let's look a bit at the context of what we happen to see here, and we see that the context of chapter 3 is that Jesus goes into from the wilderness, goes into the Jordan area where John the Baptist is baptizing, and Jesus himself is baptized in the River Jordan. And the scripture tells us from there, as he was baptized, and as he comes up, the Spirit descends on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, you are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. In this particular instance, God is declaring that Jesus is his Son, but we see the work of God's Spirit involved in all of this. The Spirit descends on Jesus in a bodily form. The voice from the heavens declare that you are my Son and I love you. The text says in chapter 4, verse 1, that now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, is led by the Spirit into the desert. Mark uses the word, the Spirit drove him into the desert. Sometimes in our own life, whenever we sense God, it is kind of a leading, it is kind of his Spirit moving us as we're sensitive to him. And so Jesus now is in the desert being led there. The desert is a desolate place. One of the verses that I put in your handout for you is from Deuteronomy chapter 8 that says about him leading you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions, and he brought water out of a hard rock. The desert. You're seeing a picture here of the Judean desert. It is some 15 to 35 miles in its scope, and it is almost nothing. Very little grows there, and it is a lonely, desolate place. It is there that we encounter where Jesus is going, and we'll show you in just a little bit where the traditional site is of the temptation. But within this story, we notice that there are several themes going on, and the word 40 or the number 40 is there. It is also story interpret story. In other words, Old Testament stories are being reinterpreted by Jesus' life. Moses on the Mount Sinai to get the law is there for 40 days and 40 nights and he does not eat. Jesus is 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Elijah, after his miraculous defeat of all the prophets of Baal and Asherah there on Mount Carmel, now leaves and goes his way to the same mountain that Moses went to. And that journey is a 40-day journey. Ezekiel, being led by the Lord, is told to give an object lesson and lay on his side for 40 days to show that Judah is going to be judged. The Jews coming out of slavery, coming out of Egypt, are now being led, and because of their disobedience, their lack of faith, that they end up wandering in the wilderness, these desert places for 40 years. And yet God is still using that time to mold and make them. You heard the scripture that was read earlier today from Deuteronomy that God leads them into the wilderness to humble them and to test and see what is in their heart. Jesus now moves into the desert. The traditional site for the wilderness temptation is still there today, and you can visit. And on the side of the hill, some of you can see kind of a monastery that's built there. It is a place that is desolate and dry, and very little lives there. And Jesus is there to seek God's guidance. The Spirit is leading him. What kind of Messiah will he be? There are traditional objects of trying to describe what Satan looks like, or the devil. We're not real sure. Usually he doesn't come to us in red outfit with horns and a pitchfork, or we would recognize him full well. Problem is, he comes to us with temptations for us in maybe a voice that sounds familiar to us, to doubt, to wonder, to do, to compromise our faith and to do it in a wrong way. And so we come to these particular temptations that Jesus has, and the very first temptation that we have for him is it says that he was hungry. I guess if you haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, you would be hungry too. I would be famished. And it doesn't look like me has missed many meals for very long. But in his hunger, the temptation comes to take those stones that look like loaves of bread in their culture and to make it bread to feed himself. Oh, he's hungry. Yes, he has a physical need, and the temptation is here from Satan is, doesn't God love you? Didn't you hear that at the baptism? This is my son, whom I love. The temptation is for Jesus to meet his own physical needs. And if God loves you, surely he wants your needs met. Jesus, take this stone, turn it to bread. And with that, the implication becomes, could Jesus become a Messiah of bread? Should he feed all the hungry of the world by just turning all the stones into bread and giving it away? See, the temptation may have come for Jesus, and yet he refutes it and does what the book of Deuteronomy says, is this story is ingrained into his life as he takes the temptation and turns to his heavenly Father and reminds himself and the tempter that God is the one who gives us sustenance, that we should not live by bread or appetites alone. Yes, we have appetites. Yes, God made them. But there are ways to satisfy them in God's ways, and then there are ways for us maybe to satisfy them in wrong ways. The second temptation that Jesus faces there in the wilderness is the temptation found in verses 5 through 8, where the devil takes him to this high place and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. Now, I don't know if this physically happened or this is happening to Jesus, but whatever it is a real temptation. Jesus had the power to turn the bread or the stone into bread, and Jesus has the power to subjugate himself to do something the Father doesn't want him to do. And so the temptation is real for him to not wait on the kingdoms to be given to him, but for him to compromise just a little. The context is almost as if Satan is saying, oh, Jesus, just once bow down to me. No one's here. No one will notice. Just between you and me. And yet Jesus himself faces this particular temptation again with his understanding of the Father who loves him, who is the Son, and he reminds him that it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus reminds even Satan that part of why he's here is to seek and to save that which is lost. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus is we learn to worship God and serve him only. And we serve God quite often by serving each other. Whenever we come to our temptations in our own life, are we turning back to God who tells us that we are his precious child, who reminds us that we are loved? Or are we willing to compromise or take a shortcut? See, the journey ahead seems so rough and far, and the wilderness is so desolate. Surely there's got to be a simpler way. Surely there's got to be a shortcut that we can get to what God wants us to do. Or maybe it's just what we want to do. The third temptation comes along for Jesus, and now he is taken to a high point at the temple. Some say that this point overlooks the Kidron Valley, which is some 450 feet below him. This ceiling's only about 25 foot high. 450 feet. And the temptation here seems to be that Satan wants him to say, is your God faithful? Is God faithful to do what he said? His word says he'll give his angels charge over you. They'll protect you. So Jesus, go ahead, jump. God is faithful, isn't he? Won't he save you from this? And Jesus reminds even the one who quotes Scripture wrongly that God is not to be tested, that we're taken to this highest point and yet we are there because we want to be found faithful to God. Why this comes in Luke's order, and it's a little different in Matthew, is Luke's gospel seems to be taking Jesus to Jerusalem. It's Luke's gospel that says later on that Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem that Jesus is tried. It's in Jerusalem that Jesus is beaten, led to the cross. and crucified on a hill right outside the city. So it seems to be that in Luke's version of temptations, that the order seems to be this, because he's moving Jesus to this point, to ultimately heading toward Jerusalem. Can we live in such a way that Jesus did, who even again answered with his relationship with his Father, that God is not to be put to the test? Can we trust that God is faithful even in the midst of our deserts, whenever we don't see where the bread is coming from, when we can't see where the water is, nor can we even see where the desert ends? Can the desert be a place for you and me to find God's goodness and to find his direction? Jesus was hungry, and so he was tempted. AA and NA use an acronym sometimes whenever their people are facing temptation, and they use the word HALT, H-A-L-T. And it is an acronym that maybe could apply to us. It says, never make a decision whenever you're hungry, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely, and whenever you're really tired. In the midst of your temptations, find support from others who are around you, is what AA does. They have sponsors who they can call, so that in the midst of their temptations, they don't have to worry about falling as easily. You know, opportunity may only knock once in your life, but you know what? Temptation leans on the doorbell and rings it constantly. And so we too must learn to live in God's love. For the temptation for you and me is to say that God loves me, therefore I can fix my own needs and my own necessities. The tempter comes to us and tests us. Will we do things God's way and in his will and follow his pattern for the future, that hope that is out there in front of us, or will we compromise and take shortcuts? And will we trust that God is faithful, even in the midst of the tough times of life, even in the midst of the wildernesses that we go into? So it seems to be that the temptation is against these three virtues, faith, hope, and love, of which Paul said the greatest of these is love. So for you and me in life, how we face temptations is also to come alongside with Jesus, who walks with us into the wilderness. It is Jesus who comes alongside of us. And so the story that we have here is interpreting the stories of the Old Testament and giving us new hope and new life. As story interprets story, we encounter the adversary, the tempter, in the Garden of Eden. And there, Adam and Eve look at the fruit and see that it's good for food and to make one wise, and they fall for the bait and take it and decide to do things their way rather than the Father's way. Stories in the Old Testament, Jesus is found faithful in the temptation, not in the garden, but in the wilderness, where now he stands firm and faithful to his Father rather than falling for the temptation. But this story interprets other stories of the Old Testament. The new Jerusalem that Jesus seems to be ushering in as he come to say the kingdom of God is at hand. God's new rule and reign is here. The new covenant is being introduced. And as Israel was led out of the wilderness and failed in their faithfulness to God, Jesus is in the wilderness himself and he is being faithful to God. Jesus succeeds where those who went before him did not. Story is interpreting story. How about the Jordan River? You remember where Joshua took the people through to get into the Holy Land? They went through the Jordan River. And the story of the Jordan River is the parting of it, just like the Red Sea parted, a much more narrow place than the Red Sea, but they go through the waters. Jesus himself is being baptized in the River Jordan, showing that he too now is passing and taking his people into a new promised land. Jesus' baptism was the beginning of him understanding what the Father wanted him to do. And in the wilderness, in his silence and solitude, as he prayed and as he fasted, he gained strength of what the Father wanted him to do. So what about you and me as we move into the desert? And I think the desert is a place that God takes all of us. I think it's part of our spiritual formations, the part of forming us to be more like Christ. And you've been there. But in the desert, can we find it as a place to listen? Can we find it as a place to be solitude with God? For the desert strips us of our comfort. It strips us of all our resources, where we must be dependent on the loving, faithful Father who wishes to provide for us. In the desert, can we learn to depend on God's goodness? Can we make decisions to follow in His way and by His will rather than taking our shortcut that is so tempting? And can we learn to grow by practicing spiritual disciplines of praying and listening to our Father who loves us and who wishes to speak over us, my child, whom I love and whom I'm pleased? And then can we be led and filled with the Spirit of God who would direct us and who would comfort us and who would support us and who would give us the freedom that we need? You know, lightning rods are made to attract lightning. But they're also grounded in the ground so that the force and the power of the lightning will not do the damage to the building or place that is located. So are we grounded in the Lord? And sometimes we're attracting the temptations that come to us, but can we trust our Father who loves us, and can we trust our Savior who walks with us? There's an interesting verse in Mark's Gospel. This is all it says in Mark's Gospel about this time of temptation. And at once the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with wild animals, and angels attended him. Now, if you've ever been through a time of desert and temptation, it sure feels like wild animals are fighting inside. The temptation to do something, and then the discipline to be found faithful. And whenever we go into the desert and we wait long enough on the Father, His angels come to attend to us too. God is faithful. God is loving. And God's will and His hope for the future is sure. And so whenever we fall to the temptations of the adversary, may we confess them and may we get back on the road that God is calling us to be on. I've got a short video clip that really comes from an issue, and I was thinking more of the teenagers today as the style of what it is, of what it means for us to be in the wilderness and how God is faithful with us in it. Let's watch this clip.
There are some things that I don't understand. Some things I can't come to grip with. Sometimes I just look out in the world and think, why me, God? Why this situation? Why them, Lord? Why this tribulation? Why? I've been down on my luck for a while. I mean, I don't even have an ace in the deck. Just empty hands with no patience that's left. I'm lost in the desert, no oasis. I guess I'm hung out to dry. Lips chapped, feet hurt in this weather. I thirst and I march on, hoping to find an answer. Just an inkling of faith in this world full of cancer would be a refreshing drip of water on the tip of my tongue. The fresh, cool breeze of Jehovah's lungs is exactly what I need. But that feels so far away. I mean, God, are you really with me? Do you really care? When I cry in distress, are you really there? Your word says yes, but sometimes I doubt it. But clearly my own path needs rerouting. Because every time I walk my own way, I get lost. And even though I'm lost in the desert, I now realize He created it. He knows where the water is. He made the sun. His creation is marvelous, and He is in control even when I fail. He is faithful even when I fall. He is what I need even when I doubt. He is fresh water in the midst of the drought. He is God and He is King. He is Lord and gives life to all things. He gives and takes away, and sometimes I just need to trust that He knows exactly what He is doing. When I am asleep, He is moving. When I fall, He is choosing to pick me back up with outstretched arms. Nothing that anyone does can separate me from His love, because He is faithful. He is true. He is good. He is God. And in the desert, I know He reigns.
In the deserts of our life, God still reigns, both as Lord and Savior and physical rain to come upon us at the times we need it. We have a good shepherd who knows where the water is, even in the midst of things that look desert and desolate. And as we learn to listen to the shepherd's voice, He leads us where we need to go. Today, maybe you have experienced the desert. Maybe you're there now, and God is taking away the comforts of this world so that you've become more attuned and aware of what He's up to. He's molding and making us to be the people that He wants us to be, and He is faithful. So today, as we stand and sing our final song, may it be a time that we sing our song back to Him as a commitment of our life, that as He moves us into the desert and moves us through our situations in life, He is shaping us to become people of His so that we might be the good news to His world. So today, maybe it's today for you to step across the line of faith for the first time, or maybe you've sat down because you've been in the desert way too long. It's an opportunity for you to respond again to the freshness of God's love. He is loving. He is faithful, and His hope is still in front of us, and it is sure.